CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. They all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to fascinating personalities who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here's Steve Klein.
An unknown author said, "When you see a man at the top of a mountain, you know he didn't fall there." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two playmakers who have gotten to the top of the mountain. Our first Playmakers company started as a small family business, but their employees now have over 100 years of combined experience. Well, our next Playmaker operates two high-tech companies and a free programming trade school. With us today is a president whose company's jobs include Cowboy Stadium, the Gaylord Hotel, and the Harry Potter ride in Orlando. Well, our next CEO's company has a solar-powered data center. These great Playmakers are George Kanon. George is president and founder of Sigma Marble. And Peter Zilke. Peter is CEO of Exigo Office and co-founder of Epic Servers and Epic U. And we'll begin today's show with Peter. Peter Zilke operates, as I said, two high-tech companies, Exigo Office and Epic Servers. As CEO of Exigo Office, Peter specializes in online networking and security, serving hundreds of thousands of users daily. He spent 10 years developing a system that clients can customize, which was a feature not previously available. As co-founder of Epic Server, Peter helps design custom colocation servers, connectivity, and bandwidth solutions for clients. After his first high-tech position with Southwestern Bell Mobile Systems, he worked in the information technology, security, and network design sectors. Peter is a member of the Information Systems Audit and Control Association, a global network of information systems professionals. As a contributor to UNICEF, Peter joined a team of nonprofit organizers that fights for the human rights of children worldwide. Well, Peter, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Lots to talk about. Now, you do have three successful businesses. Let's talk first about your free trade school, Epic U. First of all, what is it?
Absolutely. Epic U is a, well, first, it's a nonprofit, but it is a trade school, and it's for anyone who's thinking about switching careers or anyone who is interested in getting into the programming space and who says, hey, you know what, I really have a passion for computers. It's something that I would like to try. It's an opportunity where anybody and anyone, any company needs programmers. And so we started it as a school where they can come in. They go through a three-month boot camp. It's a lot of hustling. And then our goal is after 3 months to actually have someone who can go and get on the job training and start actually working in the field of programming.
Now, this is actually also a free trade school. Is that correct?
It is. It's absolutely free. And, you know, there are a lot of trade schools out there that are charging $12,000 to $15,000. And part of it comes from our desire as founders of other tech companies. We started out without having the means to go and actually take these different, you know, courses. And so we were completely self-taught. And more we saw people who they had the mind for it, they could get into it, but they didn't have the money to either go through a computer science degree or to pay for one of these boot camps. And so we thought, you know what, let's just go out this, let's start this school. We'll be able to get some of the good candidates to actually come work for us afterwards. And it's a way that we can give back to a tech community that really has done wonders for us and we've been very successful in.
So it was relatively selfish going into it initially, but you're helping a lot of kids.
Certainly we get a benefit from it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So the why was here. You wanted to help develop your business with the right kind of people too.
Absolutely. I mean, we wanted to help our own business get, you know, good, bright people who wanted to do it. And then of course, again, starting out when we first started, we trained up a lot of people. So we had already built a lot of processes in our company on how we trained, how we brought the people up, and how we taught them to work, you know, paired with other programmers. And we thought, why can't we make this into a full-time school and actually expand it so that, you know, even if they don't come work for us, now they have the skills and they have the entry point to go find a good career in programming.
We spoke before the show started about the fact that kids, especially women, aren't being taught programming. This is really a white-collar trade school to help these kids really focus on understanding how to do that.
Absolutely. I mean, and we have we're completely diverse, you know, from every ethnicity, male, female, in the trade school. And programming is for everyone. There is this whole misconception that it is a few guys with Coke bottle lenses sitting in their mom's basement who are sitting there, you know, hacking some old mainframe. But the reality is that it's a trade that anyone who has the aptitude and is willing to put in the time can do. I mean, it takes a while. Like any trade, you have to put in your time, put in your effort, and master it. But anybody can do it. It's not out of reach. And for people who say, you know what, it's a great career, I would like to do it, why not do it? Why not come in and take the trade school and learn and try it?
We're speaking with Peter Zelke. Peter has a couple of businesses. We're talking first about EpicU, which is epicu.org. What do you teach? When you say programming,
It is. I mean, and so we start from the very beginning on the fundamentals. We start with HTML, CSS, JavaScripting. And then we go all the way down into C#, some .NET, and obviously SQL and connecting to databases. And through the whole process, more than just teaching, we also have all these different challenges. And so we teach people how to learn. What are the resources? What are the places that you need to get code examples? What are the forums that you can get on when you have, you know, you're beating your head against the wall trying to solve something? So we're teaching people how to learn, and then we're also doing challenges. So they're doing real-world example, because every week each student has to get up and present to the other students a challenge of how they did it. Let's simulate creating Twitter. Let's simulate creating a Facebook. How would you create that? How would you store that on the database on the back end?
You're getting thinking. The creativity is in there.
Absolutely. It's more than just – and part of what we've seen is even in some of the people who go through computer science degrees there's a lot of kind of philosophy on the back end of how to do it or the theories, whereas we're taking a slightly different approach and we're saying, look, as an actual job or a career trade school, what are the things that your job is going to ask you to do? You're going to need to know these fundamentals. These are the business processes that you're going to recreate. And so we're trying to teach them what are the minimum requirements so that you can get this entry-level job and then you can go work next to other programmers. And so it's our point of entry, I guess.
As a young person, you're getting me excited. I'm not that young person, but if I was in my late teens or 20s, this would sound exciting. How do they go about applying, and how do they get into EpicU?
So epicu.org, go through. There's a contact form, and then they'll be contacted back, and we'll do an interview with everyone. I think really what we're looking for is aptitude and passion and the willingness to put in the time. And, you know, it's not realistic to think that, hey, I'm going to go put in 10 hours a week and I'm going to be a programmer in a few months. And so we're looking for people who have the passion and they're really willing to switch careers and put in the time and the effort to do that.
And the training is how long again?
It's 3 months. It's 3 months.
All day, a full day?
No, so the classes are just a half day Wednesday and all day Saturday. But then you're going to get sent home with a lot of homework for every day. So I think the expectation is certainly that during those 3 months, you'll spend 30 to 50 hours, you know, again, in your off time and evenings and everything, getting your challenges ready and then being ready to present it in class.
But enough time to still work part-time if they want you to bring a few extra dollars.
Absolutely, yeah. And part of what we've been very, you know, fortunate is we have a lot of ex-students who are now teachers. And so they'll also hold other meetups and stuff like that. So if you feel you're falling behind, they can go up to the class and they'll get met up there, you know, with the ex-students who are now teachers. And so they can actually practice and get answers. And, you know, I think early on having that that community of people who they can bounce their questions off of really, really helps.
That's great. Well, let's talk a couple of minutes about the other two businesses that you get paid to do, Exigo Office and Epic Servers. Talk about those and how they interlink together.
So Exigo Office does a lot of big data and commission processing, order calculation, tax calculation for multinational companies. And so I think where we've been successful is we've abstracted out a lot of the really difficult processes that a company would have to do to manage that data and manage that compliance with APIs so that front-end web developers can just go and launch in those different countries by just having to connect through the APIs and without having to really get heavy into a lot of the difficult programming tasks. And then on the Epic server side, we've been successful. We do a lot of cloud hosting, virtual servers, co-location, and a lot of custom solutions. So we're very good about, you know, we have a whole interface where people can kind of on demand build a custom solution with virtual machines and VLANs and, you know, a lot of automation, I guess.
So it's more specialized in terms of who you're working with.
It is a lot more specialized. I mean, I think, you know, there are a lot of cloud competitors. It's a very competitive space. And I think some of the big players, they have to standardize everything. And so we're able to kind of bring a more specialized local approach to it and say, how do we customize all these different features to specifically fit your niche or your need?
And those websites, if you'd like to find out more about the other companies, are epicservers.com and exego.com. Now, I mentioned at the very beginning that you have something unusual, at least I think it's unusual, you tell me. You have a solar-powered data center?
So solar-powered is – it's a – we run all of our cloud servers on DC. It's kind of a lot of people understand, but all servers on the on the guts run DC power, and so you constantly have power loss when you're running the AC back to DC, and you have the UPSs, and so it started out as a hobby of mine, and obviously to actually produce enough power to run a full data center day and night is difficult with solar. So our solar supplements it during the day, and it feeds directly into our DC battery banks, and it's both a cost savings, and it's actually very effective because you have less power failures when you're running everything just on DC power only. And it kind of goes back to the old school telco days that, you know, I did that you have just a lot of reliability running on DC power.
That must have paid for itself very quickly and is paying for itself as you go along.
It does. I mean, I think you have a pretty large investment up front, but yes, it does. You have a lot less power loss that you would have from having to convert from DC back to AC back to DC. It pays for itself, and it's a good story. It's a lot of fun. I mean, again, as kind of an old school electronics and electric guy, I like tinkering and designing those stuff and working with the electrical guys and helping them draw it out.
Will other data centers, or do other data centers move in that direction? Are there going to be more solar-powered supplements to power for data centers over time?
I think it's difficult to scale it. It is the reality unless you have a lot of land. So I think it'll be niche. I think there are already a lot of niches, again, primarily in telco and kind of the 100% availability where they're doing just straight DC to DC. I think, again, and I was told you earlier, a frightening statistic is that pretty close to 3% of the world's power is going to feed data centers. And so it is certainly hard to get enough land to build that much solar.
It would be difficult, I guess, to do all that. But correct me if I'm wrong, one of your highest costs is power.
Absolutely. No, power is a huge cost.
Any way to reduce that is helpful.
Yeah, and you get bulk rates. But yes, I mean, electricity is your single largest cost in data centers.
Well, we talked about three different companies. I mentioned the websites, but go ahead and you tell everybody again how to get a hold of all three locations.
Yeah, so go to epicu.org and please apply. We'd love to talk to you.
Any age range? Does it matter?
Again, I think it's less about the age and more about the time commitment and the actual ability to do that. We want people to be realistic that if you have two full-time jobs and a family at home, you probably can't commit to 30 to 50 hours. And so we are looking for people who, have the energy and want to commit the time and, put that into it. And then on the Epic Servers, just, epicservers.com. If you have cloud needs, we'd love to hear from you.
Well, great. Peter, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you for having me.
With everything you're doing, you are definitely a playmaker. Peter Zilke is the CEO of Exego Office and co-founder of Epic Servers and Epic U. Don't go away. We have more. We're going to speak with the founder and president of Sigma Marble. His name is George Kanaan. Back with George right after this.
Wipe Out Kids Cancer is a Dallas-based nonprofit organization founded in 1980 dedicated to raising awareness and funding for pediatric cancer research on a national basis. Wipe Out Kids Cancer has raised over $4 million in the crusade against pediatric cancer and spent over 30 years developing programs to not only fight childhood cancer, but to also provide hope and support to kids and families battling cancer. Our mission is to work relentlessly for a day when children are living cancer-free. You can help make a difference. Go to WOKC.org to donate or volunteer. That's WOKC.org.
Operation Kindness is the original and largest no-kill animal shelter in North Texas, having saved more than 80,000 cats and dogs over almost 40 years. On a day-to-day basis, Operation Kindness cares for approximately 300 cats and dogs, with another 150 in foster homes. In the past 12 months, more than 4,200 homeless cats and dogs have received medical care, clean shelter, nutritious food, and playtime until they were adopted into a new forever home. Go to OperationKindness.org to adopt or foster a dog or cat. Donate or volunteer. That's OperationKindness.org.
Sigma Marble Tile Terrazzo is a Dallas-based, family-owned and operated business founded in 1986 by civil engineer George Kanaan after working 5 years overseas as a project manager in general construction. In 1991, the company expanded its operation, opened a full-service fabrication and installation facility in Houston. And in 2014, Sigma once again expanded and opened an installation facility in Orlando and added a terrazzo division including precast terrazzo. Sigma Marble's work includes stone and ceramic tile, dimensional stone and terrazzo, fabrication and insulation, and commercial and large residential work. Since its inception, Sigma Marble employees, project managers, and estimators have over 100 years combined experience utilizing advantage of a 12,000 square foot facility. Well, George, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you.
Now, you grew up in Lebanon. We're going to talk about that. But you considered attending the University of North Dakota, but you ended up at LSU. How did you decide to go to LSU over UND?
Well, you know, I did not know much about the United States except for the movies and, you know, that and TV shows. So I basically took the world map and I took North Dakota and I took the latitude and it hit Siberia. And, you know, how cold it is in Siberia. I said, no, let's try LSU. So I did that, and it hit Egypt, so that's why I came to LSU.
And I think you said in the information you had sent to me that there was they were priced right.
Which the is price was right, yeah. These were the only two universities left because all the other ones, I mean, Berkeley accepted me, you know, Stanford accepted me, but they were like $20,000, $30,000 a year. I didn't have the money.
Let's talk about the reason you wanted to come to the U.S. over Lebanon. What was going on in Lebanon at that time?
It was civil war. Civil war was raging, and there was that's it. You know, no opportunity. You could either go to the Middle East and work, you know, in Saudi Arabia or you know Dubai or these places, or not work much in Lebanon. So I just came here. My brother was living here, and I said, "Well, let's go."
But you are a civil engineer by training at LSU, but that's not what you originally went to LSU for. What did you want to do, and how did you become a civil engineer?
I wanted to be a petroleum engineer at that time. But then I took geology, and that was the end of it. So, you know, geology, you have to memorize a lot of different minerals and names and this and that, and I don't like you know, I can't do that. But now I'm back in geology, by the way.
with the stone and everything else, yeah. Now you're learning it because you have to learn that, or want to, not because you have to.
Yeah.
Well, let's continue with that. You went, you graduated from LSU. You went back to Lebanon.
Uh-huh.
You came back to Dallas because of your brother.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the business you were in and how you ended up starting Sigma Marble.
Well, I was in Saudi Arabia. I did one big building that had skin on the exterior of travertine and stuff like that. And the method was to do mechanical fastening, which is a lightweight way of putting stone. And that was new to Saudi Arabia. And that started maybe in 83. And that became very popular over there, and a lot of people did it. And I got a lot of experience in it. And when I came here, you just went straight to that. We did a couple of jobs. Actually, the job that I first job I did was Inwood Tavern on Inwood, you know, that building, that little mall, and that's what I did, you know. You know, I worked as a helper. I hired a guy and I told him, you know, I'm your helper. So I learned the you know what to do, you know, how to drill the granite and all this kind of stuff. And after that, we just started bidding small work here and there, small residential work. And, you know, the shop we started was a very primary shop. It was just hand tools and grinders and stuff like that. And from then on, we bought a saw and, you know, just for some reason, people trusted me and gave me deposits, you know. So, and that was pretty good, you know. That's why I like Texas, because there's a people are honest and you can trust them and you can take their word. And that's what, you know, that's what started the whole thing.
Well, you've been in business for 30 years. At least you're going to have your anniversary party in a few months. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But how have you improved your business by automation and technology?
Well, when when I first started, you know, estimating, I had to do it by hand. You know, take the price of the material, price of the labor, you know, multiply by, you know, labor by 1.7, material, you know, times 1.3, add it up, da-da-da. And so at that time, Lotus 1-2-3 was a popular program. So I, you know, I made a spreadsheet where you put the material in there, and in the, you know, in the middle of the spreadsheet, you'd have a, you know, your scope, you know, and you would pick a material, and it would go to that table and pick the material with the price and put it back into the scope sheet, and it made it very easy to calculate that. So it's just like this material; it's used in several areas of the job. Plus, you add the labor, and automatically it puts that in there, totals it up for you. And then there was a program called WYSIWYG, which is what you see is what you get. And that would put it into a graphics deal, and then we print it out as a fax sheet, and we fax it to the, you know, to the customer. And that made it simple. I would bid maybe five times more than the competition at that time, and more accurate, too. And that continued, you know, some of the guys developed it, put it in Excel, and now we have our own.
I was going to say, you become a computer expert because you've developed what you call PM360. What is that?
PM360 is a project management program designed for us as a subcontractor, as a finished subcontractor. It would work for a millwork company. It would work for a painter. The problem we have is, you know, we research this a lot with the general contractors, what they have. They have Primavera. They have a lot of different programs that work for them. But those programs work where you have one job with many subcontractors. You know, in our world, we have us and many different general contractors. It's the opposite. And to input all that stuff in there with the double entries and stuff like that was like not possible. So we devised it with the help of Jorge Landeo. He's my CFO right now. Very smart guy. He wrote the program. He learned the language and wrote the program, and we did, you know, we have it. It's operational right now.
So aside from your software, what makes Sigma Marble unique to the industry?
Well, we have that combination of that terrazzo and stone right now, which means that you can have whatever you can imagine as a designer, we can do it. Color-wise, you know, shape-wise, we have a water jet machine. You tell me what you want, we'll get it done.
So there's you're only limited by your own imagination and creativity.
Exactly.
Well, talk about some of the jobs you're proud of. I went through, and I have more than a dozen in front of me, but you talk about them. What are some of the jobs you're most proud of that you're
The one job that's really impressive is the Harry Potter ride in Universal Studios in Orlando.
Because you have a location in Orlando also.
Yes, yes. But we did that before the locations, you know, started. But it is a combination. I mean, what we did is we poured the terrazzo slabs, you know, negative and positive. We cut them here in our shop. We sent them over there. We laid them on the floor, and we poured around them without using the metal strips that you normally see in a terrazzo floor. And so when you go to see that job, it's a continuous, you know, with stripless job. There's no metal in it except for the expansion joint. And you don't see that. You don't see that anywhere. This is something new.
Something new.
And it's beautiful.
New and interesting. Well, you've also worked with the Gaylord Hotel, Ritz here in Dallas, Cowboy Stadium, Bass Hall in Fort Worth. You've had a lot of unique jobs. How did they start coming to you? What was it that made you so successful?
Well, we had a very good reputation. So, we, you know, at that time in the late 90s, there wasn't much competition left. So, you know, doing the Bass Hall, for example, it was almost a negotiated job. So, but they wanted something to be, they wanted a residential guy to do that job because it had a lot of residential work. That's why they picked us, and it was a great job. We traveled to France and to Italy several times for that job.
You must enjoy that.
Yeah.
Well, I talked about your success. If you were to give someone advice, what's the best advice you would give somebody going into their own business?
I would say You know, once you decide on doing whatever you want to do, don't even come with an alternate plan. Put the blinders on and go, okay? Because if something goes wrong, you can resolve it at that time. So, but if you have an alternate plan, you start thinking about the alternate plan, and you might not go through with what you originally started. And that's not a good thing. So
you have to be 100% focused.
100%
focused. No other options at all.
Yeah, no other options.
Well, I mentioned your 30th year in business, and you're going to have an anniversary party later this year in a few months.
On October 6th.
What kind of, is going to be a big celebration for you?
Yeah, it will be. Maybe 400 people. Everybody in town is invited. Everybody who hears this, come on.
So you know,
I don't know the location yet. We're trying to find a good place. It's not going to be in our warehouse because it's too big.
You can check with Sigma Marble. Tell everybody how to find you on the internet.
SigmaMarble.com. Yeah, you'll find us.
Makes it real easy.
And you'll see all our jobs, all the divisions, everything we've done. It's all there.
So you're working primarily commercial. Do you do much residential work at this point?
We do. We do very big residential work. Those jobs are more like commercial jobs. And we do work for our friends and family. You know, somebody wants a kitchen here, there, you know, we'll do it. So.
Well, your business is all based on customer service. You mentioned before we started that it's about taking care of your people. How did you figure out how to do that? How did your leadership style develop?
Well, I think I was born that way.
That's great. I'm glad
you know,
to hear that.
You know, it's just in Lebanon, you're very hospitable place. So, you know, even people that you don't know, you want to invite to your house for a cup of coffee, this and that. And that carried through to, you know, me, whatever. I mean,
the way you lived your life.
I don't want to see somebody not happy with whatever I'm doing, so I made sure that everybody was happy. And you're still now. Even my employees, I want to make sure they're happy. You know. So.
And as a result, your clients are happy.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, George, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you.
Thank you for
inviting me here.
Well, thank you for being here. You are definitely a playmaker.
Okay, thanks.
George Kanaan is founder and president of Sigma Marble. Thank you very much for joining us again. Our last guest was George Kanaan, president and founder of Sigma Marble. And our first guest was Peter Zilke. Peter is CEO of Exigo Office and co-founder of Epic Servers and Epic U, great playmakers. Thank you very much for joining us. Join us next week at Playmakers Talk Show. Also join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting playmakers.